Whenever I come to Earth, I listen to BBSRadio.com. Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener, has been helping folks from around the world, and he can help you too. Listen to Don't Panic, It's Organic, every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can just listen, or you can call in and talk directly to the Invisible Gardener right here on BBSRadio.com/Don't Panic, It's Organic. That's Don't Panic, It's Organic, every Saturday afternoon on BBSRadio.com/Don't Panic, It's Organic.
Don't panic, it's organic, the way that nature intended it. Don't panic!
Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener. Thank you for listening to my show. We have a lot going on today. First thing I want to tell you about is how to get to the show. You're just probably listening onto a podcast. You go to my website, invisiblegardener.com. You click on radio show, which is at the home page. Click on where it says live show. By the way, this is also how you get to Cosmic Spaceship. So you click on live show. It takes you to the radio station website. On the left side, you'll see Don't Panic, It's Organic. Join in live via Zoom, or you can also use the phone numbers there to call in and talk to me, okay? That's, people have been asking me that, so I'll tell it to you now and show you so you can get at it, okay? Thank you. Enjoy the show. I also want to explain how to get to YouTube, because people want to know how to subscribe to the podcast, so the video version. So from my website, you go to, on the very bottom, you see it's YouTube, takes you to my YouTube page. This is my YouTube page. You'll see all my shows there. I have both my shows there. I have Don't Panic, It's Organic, right? And I also have the Cosmic Spaceship right there. So you can subscribe to it, get the notifications. It'll automatically come to you into your email or your phone. And you can watch it anytime you want to. That's a great way to get the podcast. I would go up there anyway and subscribe to my channel. I currently have 1,000, so I could use more subscribers and more listeners. And this is how you get to my show. See, that's my show there. Don't Panic, It's Organic, the radio show. And then I also have, you can also get at Cosmic Spaceship right through there also as well. Okay, thank you very much. Bye. Hi, so on today's show, I'm going to be covering some things for you that I know you'll like. For starters, we have Andy EcoCat that's coming back again. He has a lot to tell you. Then we also have how to use a refractometer on vegetables and other things, right? It's going to be on YouTube. I found it on YouTube. Great talks. All the make sure I tell you about who they are and everything. Then I have a Invisible Gardener live cam. See what I did this week. We have a contest. It's only a few days left to enter, so make sure you enter today. Winner gets a grower's kit, which is worth $200. Remember, membership is currently free, so why not join today? I'm also going to provide some more information on the podcast, on YouTube. If you have any questions, there's two ways you can do this. You can call the numbers that we gave at the start of the show. You can even use the Zoom, or you can call me, email me at andylopez@invisiblegardener.com, and I'll answer next show. Have a great show. Bye now.
A beautiful day. Oh, the butterfly. Is that butterfly? I saw a butterfly. Birds. Oh. Hi there, this is Andy Lopez. I'm better known as Invisible Gardener. Today I'm here as EcoCat. You know, they do video blogging, so this is my video blog. Yeah, so I'm weird. What do you say? Oh, there's a butterfly. Where does that butterfly go? I like butterflies. Yeah, I saw a black butterfly the other day. Then on TV I saw a black butterfly movie that came out. Really cool, ain't it? Oh, there's a butterfly over there. Oh, where the butterfly goes? All these butterflies everywhere. I love butterflies. Okay, so today I'm going to talk to you about trees. I started doing a show in 1970 called It's the Trees. It's the Trees, the Trees. Oh, what happened? My voice went, hello, testing? What am I doing? Oh, it looks, wow, kind of weird. I lost everything. Oh, there it is. I'm back again. I had that flash, you know. It says all of a sudden, I'm just, ooh. Like, anyway, it's the trees. And I started talking about trees, 1970, and explaining to people importance of trees. So I kind of moved on now to the importance of the soil. After all, the trees are growing in the soil. And if you want to have happy, pest-free, disease-free trees, you need living soil. Actually, what you need is topsoil. No topsoil, no trees. Actually, no people, no living things, no animals. In my recent articles, this past year or so, I've been talking about mycelium and the importance of mycelium and how mycelium is a way that it's the start and the end of the life cycle. Starting the beginning and the end of the food chain. Everything we do, it happens on the planet. The living things all get recycled by the mycelium. And it's one way that I talk a lot about how trees communicate. And the mycelium is like the web of life. It's like the internet of the soil. Really interesting. And most people don't unaware that the climate change in part is caused by the misuse or rather the destruction of the topsoil. 40% of the world's topsoil has been destroyed within the last 100 years, but through bad farming techniques, techniques where you destroy the soil and you raise cattle, or you destroy the soil and you do cities, or you destroy the soil and you do roads, or you simply destroy the soil by adding toxins to it. And recent articles have been telling people that millions and millions of trees are dying from bark beetles and a variety of other pests. The article suggests, well, look at trees that are not being attacked and we can plant more of them. Sorry, that's partly true, but not exactly. You're still missing the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is the soil. Here's something interesting you all should know. One of the reasons why city trees are dying faster than trees in the forest is topsoil. No topsoil in the city. Now, in the forest, you have topsoil, but there's something that has been changed throughout. Okay, so throughout the years, throughout the millions of years that the forests have been around, animals, oh, there I go again. Wow, look at that. Something makes me want to just stare at this. I can't, oh, there you go. Must be the drugs. I'm doing too many drugs. Yeah, oh, I know what I'm doing. I don't do drugs. But I do like pretty sparkly things, and my consciousness just sort of floats away like it just did a moment there ago. But throughout the millions of years, the forest has been recycling. Topsoil builds up. But the key here is animals. Oh, there I go again. I really got to stop doing this. I don't know why. Maybe it just puts it out. Maybe it's just a machine, can't handle it. Maybe it's butterflies. But anyway, it's animals. There was an abundance of animals coming and going through the forest. Animals lived and died and returned to the forest. Animals poo-pooed and returned the microbes into the forest. The forests now are a small fraction of what they used to be in the past. The animals are not traveling from one place to another. They're not bringing minerals and microbes from one place to another. They're pretty much stuck in there, and there's less and less of them. There's less and less birds. Roadkill alone kills millions and millions of animals. So there's less animals, less birds to recycle everything back again. The idea of remineralization is very, very important. But here's the thing that's more important. Is you can't just put minerals in the soil. You have to have the microbes. The mycelium has to be there to eat it. That's the way it works. Most people don't realize that carbon dioxide, mycelium, in the process of providing minerals to the plants and the trees, takes in carbon dioxide and binds it into the soil. Carbon resequestration, I think is Resusquation. I can't say it. It basically, oh, there he goes again. Okay, you just have to wait for it. There you go, I'm back. So the process of my sitting basically takes minerals in whatever form they're in, and through the process of, it takes carbon and makes an acid out of it, and in the process it releases the minerals, and the minerals are returned to the, are then distributed through the web that mycelium has to the plants, to the trees. Remember the root systems? They grow in there, they're intertwined with the mycelium. The root hairs have mycelium on them, which then transfers of minerals to the trees. See? Simple. But if you put rock dust on, there's no mycelium there, no microbes. The rock dust would stay there for millions and millions of years. And that tree would not have any way to get the minerals. Chemical fertilizers are not a complete food. Chemical fertilizers are more toxic than good. Chemical fertilizers cause a variety of problems. They kill the beneficials in the soil. Whenever I tell people, you don't have the good guys and the bad guys in the same place. The good guys is the mycelium. So the problem that's happening now with the millions and millions of trees, there's two things going on. One is the cities, all around the cities, trees are dying left and right because there's no topsoil. There's no, the process that they are used to getting the nutrition from is not there anymore. And so, yeah, they get some food from the very air, from things, you know, being dumped around them. Fertilizers has to some extent as food. It's like eating sugar, eating candy. You can only eat that for so long. You need to have a good diet. You need to have the minerals. It's a trace mineral deficiency that's happening. Combination of the drought causing stress, a combination of humans taking the underground water. Because normally you have a drought, you have the underground water that they survived off of. Now they don't even have that. So they get a combination of stress from all over the place. Toxins being dumped to the side. Human beings are very, very stressful. So the key here is to bring, we have a problem with the climate. That's something we're going to have to deal with. I can talk to you about that endlessly, how to deal with that. But right now we're going to talk about the soil and the trees and what you have to do. I work a lot with homeowners. That's a big area right there. Homeowners, gardeners having the faintest idea about topsoil. They look at, I went to a place the other day and said, what's wrong with my tree? And I'm looking at it and I'm going, no topsoil. When's the last time you applied rock dust compost to mulch? Huh? Really? See what I'm saying? So you need to bring the topsoil back to life. The only way you can bring it back to life is by adding it to it. We took it away, we need to bring it back. We need to put rock dust, compost, and mulch. Ideally, you want to put the rock dust in the compost while you're making it. But if you can't, then you buy a good source of compost that you know is alive, has been made properly, not the suicide stuff, right? And you add the rock dust, normally when people make compost, they don't understand about adding rock dust, let alone cities, stuff like that, who are making compost in large scale, or a person who makes compost, company and makes compost in a large scale. Very rarely do I find them adding rock dust to it. And I go, well, where do they think they get the minerals from? What's going on? So you want to be doing that. You want to get a couple of different sources of rock dust, blend them together, because a blend of rock dust is better. Add the put a thin layer of rock dust down, a thin layer of compost, and a thin layer of mulch. You do that on a regular basis, your soil will slowly build up. The other thing you need to do with your trees, you need to do deep watering. It's better to underwater than overwatering. City water's got chemicals in it that can kill the beneficials. See what I'm saying? So you want to provide deep watering. Trees only need a good deep watering, say, once a week at the most. That's if you have bad soil. If you have good topsoil, once a month is a good deep watering. Drip system. You install what I call tree vents. I use clay drain pipes because I like the clays. Clay is paramagnetic, really helps a lot. But you can use the PVC pipe, 3 feet, goes down in the ground, make sure it has holes on the side. Inside, you put your rock dust, compost, and mulch. And ideally, in the compost, you also want to make sure you're adding the mycelium and the microbes to it. And if you make compost without manure, you're not going to have the microbes in it. That's one of the things you need to know about. It's making compost, you have to add some type of animal manure. The more the blend of animal manure, the better. So the key here to the helping these trees is to, there's a short-term and a long-term solution. The short-term solution is reduce the stress. If it's being attacked by the borer, there are many things you can do to control the borer, to kill the borer in the tree, and to control it from coming back. In the short-term solution, you want to get, the way you reduce the stress is you get the minerals and the food into the plant. The way you do that is by foliar spraying. You spray the tree with a really nice, a compost tea is very good. That's one reason why it works so well. It has the microbes in it. Provided you make compost correctly. One of my next shows, talks here, is going to be how to make compost correctly. Plus, I'm also going to talk to you about certain things that you can do to control the bark beetle, as you can do your stuff, how to make the foliar sprays. So we're going to be doing a lot of this stuff. I'm going to do a little bit every day, about 5 minutes every day, a little talk about what's going on in the environment. And every Sunday, I'm going to be here talking to you about what you and I can do together. So that's basically it for today. Make sure that you know that you don't overwater your trees. Overwatering soaks the soil, kills the soil, is very, very bad. Okay? So basically, you understand you have to have a good topsoil. Okay, so that's it for today.
Okay, so I'm going to show you some things about my new book. It's called Don't Panic, It's Organic. If you want to buy it, I appreciate you going up to Amazon. Just type in search Invisible Gardener Books. You'll see my book. It's a $20 book. The color version is not available on Amazon. It's not available anywhere. It's only available on my website, invisiblegardener.com. The color version is $55. The black and white version is $20. And it just has to do with printing, color, you know. And let me show you what that's the cover. That's the cover of the book right there, called "Don't Panic, It's Organic." And Cindy Berry is my daughter-in-law. She's an amazing artist. So I got her to do different artwork for each chapter of the book. And they look even better in person, you know, when you have the book. It's a big, giant book. And I did that on purpose because I could have done a smaller version of it, but this is really cool. And so this is the art for each chapter of the book. The book is the best book I've ever done so far to date. It also has the Dances with Ants book inside of that book, which was also done. My friend David is the editor and went through the Dances with Ants book for me. And it's a separate book. You can buy that separately on the website. Also on Amazon. It's not in the print version. You get a PDF or a Kindle. All my books are in PDF and, of course, they're available on Amazon as well as on Kindle. So this shows you some of the different chapters that she did for me. It's amazing. What I would do, because that's the Dances with Ants cover, what I would do basically personally is I would get two versions of the color version from me and the black and white version from Amazon. The color version is a very, very unique book. It's not that many of it, not can be that many available. And if you take good care of it, don't be surprised if this lady becomes a famous artist and one day you say, I have on some of her original stuff. And of course, that's not to mention you have a great book from me, which you can pass down to your children and so forth. Well, thank you very much. And now we'll move on to the next part of the show.
Okay, this is Wilson. I'm here at Jehovah Jireh Farm today, and Joel here is going to show us a refractometer, how it works.
So basically what we do is we have a grape leaf here, and we take the leaf and bunch it up, put it right in this nice little tool here, crush it. And I may have to adjust this a little tighter. What we're trying to do here is get the sap out of this grape leaf.
And then what are we looking for?
We want this number to be at least 12. The higher, the better. All right, here we go. Getting, drop a sat, there it comes. Push that over onto the lens of the refractometer and shut it. And then I just hold this thing up and look through it, and this leaf was about an 8.5.
And we're shooting for?
12 at least.
12. And now explain to me the connection between the sugar and the health of the plant and its predators and things like that.
Well, there's, as you can see here, we're having some problem with Japanese beetles. If we could get this grapevine up to at least 12 bricks or higher, all day, all night, the Japanese beetles should leave.
Wow.
And there's two things. One is that the sugars go down to the root and pull up minerals from the soil and transport them into the grape. The other thing is that in the production of sugar, the phosphate that's needed to make the sugar also is needed to bring minerals into the plant. So the higher the sugar content, the higher the mineral content of, in this case, the grapes, or it could be grass, it could be carrots or whatever.
And so the soil is not just something to hold up the plant. We're trying to feed the soil.
That's
so
right.
The plant can take care of itself and defend itself.
That's right.
That's awesome.
Well, special thanks to Jehovah Jared Farm for this great video. Let me explain to you a little bit more about how the refractometer works and what it means to me, okay? So, person is right when he says that sugar is used by the plant to bring up the minerals. And so, the refractometer reading will basically tell you the amount of sugar level. You can, if you learn to use it, you'll be able to tell that it has more and more minerals. That person was talking about a Japanese beetle that's attacking their grapes. And then if it gets above 12, they should stop attacking it. And and he didn't explain it why. Maybe he doesn't know why, but here's the reason why they will stop attacking it once the mineral level rises is because it's the way the plant acts when it's in the presence, just like human beings, when it acts as it's in the presence of the wrong type of sugar. That's what it comes down to. And basically it comes down to carbohydrates, simple carbohydrates and complex carbohydrates. So when a plant or a human or an animal has enough minerals in their body, right? And by enough minerals, I mean there's over 90 different minerals, trace minerals our body needs. So when a person has the trace minerals, they'll produce a complex carbohydrate. Same thing with the plants. When the plants has all the trace minerals, it will produce a complex carbohydrate. When the plant is missing in any one mineral, seriously, just one mineral out of the 90 or so minerals, it will start producing a simple complex carbohydrates. The less and less of those minerals, the more it will produce the simple carbohydrates. And the trick here is that bugs have evolved over the centuries to use simple carbohydrates as their main source of food. Whereas we have evolved over the centuries to use complex carbohydrates over the food. For our food, because we want more minerals in our food, they have learned to tell when a plant's ready to be harvested or attacked, right? Or used for food. I tell people that when the plant is food for the bug, there's something wrong with it, okay? It's not food for us. Usually if it's food for the bug, that means the bug doesn't care about the trace minerals or cares about a specific trace mineral. That's all it cares about. Or maybe it gets the trace minerals from other different places. But it definitely uses, that has the ability to tell if the tree is deficient in trace minerals, whether it be healthy or unhealthy, or unhealthy looking, or the color, which, because, you know, bugs see differently than we do. They can see these colors. And they can tell if a plant's missing and it trace minerals, which would then also tell the bug that the food that that plant produces would be perfect for itself and for its children. Usually it's the case when the mother, right, when the mother wants to plant, put their babies in an environment that's, it will produce the food they need. And you know that over the centuries, mothers have evolved to determine if that plant's good food for the babies or not. Right? So the refractometer is a really, really handy invention that allows us, the gardeners, to verify how well the plant's doing simply by the refractometer reading. The more you use it, the more you'll get to figure out what levels should be good levels. By the good levels, remember we have a rating that tells you fair, good, and excellent. Fair, average, good, and excellent. Anyway, I forgot what I was going to say. So when I started using a refractometer, I learned really fast that you can measure not just the juice of the fruit, you can measure the leaf of the plant, you can measure the flower, and you'll find that if you do them enough, that just say you have a tomato plant. So you have a tomato, you know, the fruit, you have the flower of the tomato and the leaf of the tomato. Those three things will give you three different readings. The flower will give you a separate brick reading, then the leaf brick reading, and the fruit will always give you a separate brick reading. The fruit happens to be sweeter, right, because it matures and it ripens, right? So at different stages of ripening, you'll have a different sweetness there. The flower will give you a different brick reading than the rest of it, because the flower is basically telling you what minerals the flower is used, right? Because that's what absorbs whatever minerals that particular the flower needs to do its thing. They don't take all their minerals, you know. They take what they need to produce what part of the plant you know they function as. And then the leaves, of course, will have a different bricks reading than the fruit, and either the flower or the fruit, because what you're squeezing out of the leaf is like the blood of the plant. So that's a different chlorophyll is different, but very very close, similar in a lot of ways. The way it takes oxygen, the way it takes food and nutrients. And that too will tell you, and then even then you could take a sample of one part of the tomato plant and another part of the leaf and another part of the leaf of the different the same tomato plant, different part, and that would be different. And that would tell me that the plant is having a hard time transmitting the trace minerals throughout the plant. There's a name for it, how it gets it from one part of the plant to another part of the plant, or to what it needs. Different parts of the plants need different types of trace minerals on different times of the year. So the refractometer is an excellent tool for you to learn how, if you're doing the right thing, because that's what you want. If you get better and better at this, you don't really need the refractometer anymore, because you can tell just by looking at the plant and the taste and so forth, and the bugs and so forth. But in terms of, you know, either education or educating others, or you learning more, refractometer is an excellent tool. I have several different refractometers. I use them interchangeably. They all give me the same price, the same brick reading. One costs $10,000, another one's about $25. They all give me the same bricks reading. Once a little bit, I want to keep cleaner and take care of it a little better than the other one. You can tell which one that is. I also have a digital. There's two types of refractometers, a digital and an analog. The analog is what the ones you looked at. I showed you before. They're like between $20, $30 each. They work very, very simply. They're waterproof, so forth. The digital, they have a little a little screen and you can read the numbers. They're not so waterproof, and they don't like it in full sun. A little bit harder to work with. They give me the same reading regardless of what type of refractometer I'm using. Now, here's something else that's interesting too, is that, so you can also do, of course, you can understand why people want to use a refractometer on their food, because they want to have a minerally rich food so they can eat their vegetables full of minerals. That's what's meant by dense food. That's what, if you're a fruitarian or if you're into fruit, you want the fruit to have all the minerals it's supposed to have, so you can get it too. Everything you eat, you want to have it rich in the minerals. So that's one reason why we use a refractometer, so we can get an idea of what the minerals are that we can eat, right? But you want to also provide the minerals to the plants that you don't eat, whether it be the lawn, or the roses, your trees. They too need the minerals, and they too need a wide range of minerals. Otherwise, they will be attacked by one pest or disease. And that's what we're talking about here, basically, isn't it? How to control the bugs and diseases in your garden. You do that by taking care of your soil. That's why I say a lot of times, heal the soil, and the soil will heal you, because that's how you're going to get healthy, by eating good, healthy food that comes from a healthy soil, healthy environment. So that's what basically this show, in the long run, is really all about, is to make you aware that the soil is the key to everything. See, and it's not what you know. It's not dirt. If you think of the soil as dirt, you need to think again about the soil, because you don't consider dirt alive. You see, right? But if you think about the soil, I look at soul, right? S-O-U-L and soil, kind of similar, because it's soil could be the soul of the soil. Okay. So I think of it as a living being. I think of it as a part of the function of nature. I'm that kind of guy that respects living things. So the soil has living organisms in it, millions and millions of living organisms that they all have a function, and those are just microorganisms. The mycelium is like one big giant life that extends throughout the earth. It's the same mycelium. It's the same. In my opinion, the same being. And so what we want to do is we want to, the way we heal it, right, the way we heal the soil, heal the earth, is by not using any type of chemicals at all. Now, it's going to be a difficult one in the sense that not using any chemicals at all, because we use a lot of chemicals. Chemicals in the water, there's chemicals in the air. Pesticide this and pesticide that, fungicide this and fungicide that, Roundup this, right, Roundup that, and that's just in this area, but it's also like in healthcare, we have antibiotics, you have biotics, you have, right, all kinds of stuff, and then that ends up in our environment. And then this is just one or two areas. There's other areas, electromagnetic fields, or radiation. That we have generated now throughout, in the short span of time we've been doing this on the earth, the way we have upsetting the natural systems of life for one way, whether we're using noise, right, because the noise levels have gone shot through the roof, where animals no longer can even hear each other, let alone communicate with each other, and to radiation, electromagnetic fields, our cell phones, the towers we use, everything that we're generating this trash everywhere. Basically, it's a different types of trash, right? That we're good at developing trash, aren't we? And we're destroying the soil and the earth in one level or another, whether it be destroying the bees, destroying the flowers, the trees, right? And it's never too late, because you should stop generating the noise and the trash, and it will clean itself up. So that's what we have to do. And we have to each individually, right? You and I have to start at home. You have to start learning how to use compost, learning how to make compost, right? You have to learn how to, use rock dust. That's my grower's kit. It's on sale now for $100. You get 5 pounds of rock dust and a quart of super seaweed. Normally it's $200. It's only $100. Actually, it was down to $149. I'm lowering it again to $100. That's plus shipping. And the rock dust is very important. I get 14 different types of rock dust, and I blend them together. Plus, I get all types of microbes, and I blend them all together. And that's one of the things I the super seaweed is. It's basically a liquid version of the other rock dust because it's got I get one of my sources. I get trace minerals. It's called C90. It has 90 trace minerals in it. Okay, so it's ancient rock, a salt rock bed. So I take that, add that, one of the things I add to my super seaweed. I've been asked to, on one of my shows, to take in a little cruise when I go shopping for my supplies so you can see the same stuff, you see the stuff that I get. So anyway, C90 is one of them. And I'll be taking you to their website, and you can see their product. And then I'll be cruising along at other places because it's time for me to start. Every 2 or 3 months, I have to buy the supplies all over again. Okay, so I'll be happy to take in a little cruise. So you can see what it is that I buy, okay? And so I'll be here again. So let's see. So I think I covered most of things for today. We have a few more things coming up. By the way, also, too, we have my cosmic spaceship that's coming up next show. I write art. I write music and do art. So recorded, you know, using my music and then put my artwork to the music. So I think you enjoyed. I've gone back in time, so I started the artwork earlier, so 2017. And so every show is going to be a little bit closer and closer to the current time. And so this is my super seaweed. You're welcome to use it. You have to buy it first. That's the cord right there. That's the same thing that I spray on my customers' properties. So, as I said, you can use it on your lawn, you can use it on your roses, and you write your own chart as to, ideally you take a Brix reading when the plant's healthy, and you also try to write down the time of year it was. You'll find that different times of the year, when it's colder and it's hotter, you're going to get different Brix readings, just because of the way it works. When it's colder, the plant's not as active as it is when it's warmer, right? So, but you'll learn, you start a little garden diary, keep track of it for you. You'll eventually learn what the ideal Brix readings are for different types of plants and vegetables and lawns and roses. You'll find sometimes the roses are very different between different varieties. And it's the same thing with vegetables. You're going to find that they're different, same type of peas.
The health of the tree depends on the health of the soil. So if you don't take care of the soil, this tree is not native to here. So normally doesn't grow in this type of soil. So if you want it to grow, you need to give it the microbes and the bacteria it needs to grow. Simple. And look at it now. It's got the greenery is coming up more and more. It's feeling happier and happier. Look at all that new growth. Every time I come here, it's almost a third more growth. You can't push it because it has a lot to do with the temperature and the weather too. So it knows it's wintertime. It's saying it's a little warm for wintertime, ain't it? But you'll see. By the springtime, it'll just be glorious, right? Nice and shady under here. We won't have these things under here anymore. We'll have a drip that'll take care of it. Okay, boss? I see you in there.
One of the reasons why you should get my book is because I'm actually using it as a manual on the radio show as part of the workshop. Next week, and for however long it takes, I'll be covering the next chapter. The first chapter of the book is called Vegetable Gardening Guide. Okay, so I'm going to be covering how to set up your own organic vegetable gardening, some basics of organic gardening, talk about the raised beds, do something about location to make sure you get the right place to do it, how to maintain it, how to protect it, right? So that's going to be coming up most of June, right? And so any questions you have about your vegetable gardens, you can direct it to me at andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. Anybody who sends me an email gets automatically entered in the contest. But if you want to enter in the contest, you should be getting a newsletter. You don't need to be a member to receive the newsletter. You just type in the newsletter section, send me a newsletter. You'll get a newsletter sent to the general public. It's free. Members get newsletters. They get a different newsletter because it has member specials on and so forth. And membership is free right now, so you might as well just join and you get the best. You get everything. You get all the books. You get this one in a PDF version. The other 20 books are all in PDF version. You're welcome to get it in Kindle. You should go to Amazon to have it in Kindle version. The only book right now that's in the print version is the Don't Panic, It's Organic book. And I prefer you get that from Amazon. That way, when you're done, you can also do it in a week or so, give them a book review, right? You can buy it from me, but you can't then do a book review on Amazon. So next week, I'll do a vegetable gardening guide, right? And I always talk a little bit about the refractometer when I talk about vegetables, growing vegetables. I always talk a lot about compost, rock dust, right? So you know what I'm going to be talking about in terms of the basics that you need to get it together to make your garden grow. There are other things that you will need, and these are things that, you know, you may be having problems with. So if you're having a problem with something attacking it, rabbits, whatever is going on with your vegetables, this is the time to go over with me, and I would be happy to help you. Like I said, there's long-term solutions and short-term solutions. So the long-term solution will always come back to the soil, right? It always comes back to the health of the soil. So they're going to be going down each chapter of my book. So if you have the book, you'll be able to use the book as a manual for you. You can write on it. That's why I suggest you get the $20 version. It's a black and white version. You can write on that, use it. And then whenever you have some more money, get the $50 version. Put that away. Don't use it. Just let people look at it. Make sure they wear gloves when they use it. You know what I'm saying? Because you want to save it. Pass it on to your children. I'm not kidding. So next week after that, it'll probably take us a month to go over the vegetable gardening guide. You know, one of the things I'm doing too is I'm having my first guest come on. It's going to be the Veggie Dome. And so I'll tell you more about it at the beginning of next month because I'll be letting you know what my guests are. So he's going to be the very first guest I'm having. I'm having basically this year. What a year, right? I hope to have lots and lots of more guests. And so if you're in the organic business, whether you're an organic supplier or organic gardener or organic professional, and you think you have a story to tell, call me or email me, and we'll see about – I will talk a little bit. And if I like it, I'll get you on my show as a guest. You can even be a co-host for a little while. That's what I like to do, get my guests to be a co-host. So we show up a few times. We can do some talk about their products and see what knowledge they know and share it with you guys. Okay, so then that'll be the organic. So after that, it'll be organic fruit tree care. So I'm going to be covering long-term fruit tree care, methods of application, organic fertilization, keeping your fruit trees happy. Talk about natural fruit tree care, some guidelines for natural fruit tree care. I'm going to cover tips on raising bricks on your fruit trees, okay? I'm going to be covering some controlling the fruit tree diseases, controlling pests, how to make your own enzyme bacterial spray, how to control fruit trees, how to control diseases organically, some basic tips, controlling I got here diseases a couple of different times. How to control fruit trees organically, and I also have more on controlling diseases in your fruit trees. And then getting control of nutrition. Talk about citrus, right? How to control the citrus. This is one of my Happy Earth Day a little short video that I did there. So I also talk about the soil, how to keep the soil alive, right? And we'll cover the leaf miner, citrus greening. That's all going to be on our organic fruit tree care section, okay? And then after that, we're going to be covering natural tree care. So we'll be covering about, it's called Insta Trees. How do we go from ice age to global warming? It's probably under Treecure. I don't know if it's not. I just realized that this, how do we get an ice age from global warming, shouldn't be under natural tree care, or maybe it is, because without the trees, we wouldn't have such a big problem. Why fertilize them chemically? Never feed trees with chemical fertilizers. There are two different formulas you can use. I don't know what formulas are. If you talk about it, I should have said something about what they are, the formulas are, huh? I wrote an article called How to Kill a Tree, so we'll be going over that one. Then we're going to do some rules for natural tree care, and then how to use a refractometer to measure brux level of your trees, how to control palm wilts naturally. We're going to be governing integral organic program for the Tropra shot hole borer. We're going to talk about how you did foliar applications that will raise the brux level of your trees. Going over natural and organic control oak root fungus. And the silk tree and glassy wood sharpshooters. That's all going to be part of the natural tree care. And then after that, there's a whole month we're going to be talking more about bricks. What is bricks? What is a refractometer? How to do the readings? How to understand the readings? How to best to get the results you want from the refractometer? You know, there's lots of things you can do to get that bricks level up. The point is to get the bricks level up to a certain point and then keep it there. Problem with chemical fertilizers, they raise the bricks level, then it goes down short, lower than where you were before. A few other things we're going to be doing when we go to the book. We have a whole be a month at least on natural disease control, right? I'm also going to be covering natural pest control, another month on natural pest control. So we're going to be covering from everything from ants to bugs to coffee to... And I have a big giant natural pest control chart in the book. I'm not sure how to duplicate that other than you guys get a book. I might be able to take a video of it. I might try to do that. Take a video of the natural pest control chart and see how that works. But maybe a picture might be good, and then put it on the video. Because there's a very big chart that I created a long time ago. We're going to be going over natural ant controls, snails. It just says you have snails, so that's the name of the chapter. And then we're also going to be covering natural flea and tick control, underground pest control, okay? Spend a whole month on natural rose care, right? I'll go over natural rose care, how to have most beautiful, amazing roses ever. And then we're going to spend some time, a month or however long it takes, on natural foliar spraying methods. It's one of the things I've been doing the longest, spraying all kinds of stuff everywhere. So we're going to be going over that. What's foliar spraying? How to make your own foliar sprays? How I make my super seaweed. So one of the things I'm going to do there has been suggested, I just take you shopping with me when I go online to buy some of the things I need for super seaweed. How to make your own trace mineral spray, how to make your own ensign spray, all about tea, right? So that's going to be a good month there, probably even more. And then we're going to be covering the covering natural lawn care. So it's going to be covering all the basics of how to have a healthy organic lawn. So you don't have to get rid of your lawn in order to be water-wise. You can teach water train your lawn. That's what I tell people, water train your lawn. We may be talking a little bit about how to reduce water. I think everybody understands what we need to do there, so it's not such a big deal in terms of me telling you how to reduce water. But remember whenever you have a question, you should call me. You can email. Well, members call me. See, I have an organic hotline for members to call me. So once you join, you're told what that line. That's not exactly helpful. So there's lots more chapters on here. There's natural rose care. There's a whole section on compost, which we are going to be talking a lot about compost. I want to have as many different compost. Folks who are in the compost business, come and pay me a visit here.
I am an evil monster. I will destroy you.
Hi, it's me again. Yep, the name of the book is called Don't Panic, It's Organic. You get your copy at Amazon.com. Just type in the search, you know, the little search window they have there, just type in Invisible Gardener Books. You'll see I have a whole bunch of books up there. This is the only one that's currently being printed. I can't print out any other book that you want. If you see a book you want printed, I'm happy to send you the print version of it, too. I just haven't made those available. They're all in either a Kindle version or PDF version. Okay, go to Amazon.com, search Invisible Gardener. Thank you. So here's some information about Invisible Gardener. This is what I do. This is what I've been doing for a very long, long, long time. I actually started in 1972, but I started in the sixth grade, but I formed a business in 1972 when I got out of the service. I got the name Invisible Gardener a long, long time ago. I do natural pest control. The way I do natural pest control is by healing the soil. You probably figured out that I'm very much into healing the soil. Pests and diseases all start with the soil. I do a natural spraying service. It's a monthly natural spraying service. We treat the whole property, trees, flowers, roses. I don't wash cars with it or anything like that. I'm a natural arborist. The way I heal the trees is by healing the soil. One time ago I said, well, they're growing trees in soil. Maybe I should do something to the soil. Of course, I'm an organic consultant. I'm on TV and radio. Here's the radio. And I have a TV show that you can see it through my website. You'll see Invisible Gardener TV up there. I do house calls. If you're lucky enough to have me in your neighborhood, I'll be happy to come and do a house call. It's $100 a visit right now. It depends where you're at. Travel for charge. And because of the drought and the fire and the water problems, let me help you to make it through this period of change. You don't have to, your property does not have to suffer because you don't know what you're doing. I do soil restoration. I bring the soils back to life. I bring your soil back to life. That's the key to everything I'm doing. I've said it quite a few times on this show, and I will continue to say it. I do soil testing, so I can provide all types of basic soil tests, from basic biology package. I can test your compost to see what's in it, right? I can test your soil for diseases. And, of course, I do remineralization. That's what it's all about. We provide minerals from various rock sources. Dust sources. I have 14 different types of rock dust that I get just to do this properly, right? And I also, you know, I practice permaculture. I also practice biodynamics. And I have all kinds of systems that I have set up myself. And I can find it anywhere else but here. That's what I teach you, right? And I do organic fertilizations. No organic fertilizers ever used. Everything I use is organic, 100% OMRI certified organic fertilizers. And, of course, I do the radio show. This is what you're watching right now. Hopefully watching and or listening. It's on bbsradio.com, or you go to my website, invisiblegardener.com. And a long time ago, people, you know, I also do a live camp. So you can watch me right on my website. It'll say live camp. You can see exactly what I'm doing, or you can watch it here at the end of the week. It shows you what I did. I have over 20 books. Actually, I have 21 books that you get free. They're in the PDF version when you join. These books are also available on Amazon. And then, you know, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, Instagram. Go to my website, the bottom page of the homepage has all the links. It takes you to all these different places. And then, of course, I do YouTube. Over 500 videos up on YouTube. And I've been doing this a long time. Some of the videos have been there so old that they're in the old format, and there's no way to do it but just to upgrade them. And this is my latest book. It's called Don't Panic, It's Organic. You get that, the PDF version for free when you join. I really appreciate if you buy the book from Amazon, right? Because they want people to buy the book so they can promote it. Just type Invisible Gardener Books. You'll see my book up there. Pick the one you want. There's plenty of other books up there on Amazon. And I run a club. I call it Club IG. It's short for Club Invisible Gardener. And so I have an organic hotline that members can call. Discounts on my products. I have a members podcast. I'm here to help you. Let me help you do it one step at a time, right? You know, people call me up and I did this, and then I say, well, it's too late for me to help you because you screwed up already, right? So for a magical garden, I did the artwork on this. Isn't that cool? Give me a call. That's my number right there, 310-457-4438. Visit the website, send an email. If you go to my YouTube page, subscribe to it, please. So thank you very much, and we have a few more minutes left. I have to figure out what I'm going to do next, okay?
So what's going on? Anybody? Anything going on? Testing. This is not a drill. I smell humans. I smell a human. I love humans. Toasted. I love toasted humans. I can't blow fire anymore. Can't do it, see? Look at my teeth. Funny tongue, huh? Who says I don't have a funny tongue? I know I have a funny tongue. Yep. Look at my nose. Look over there. See? What? Can't move me? Over there, my nose. Look over there. Oh, I got itch. I can't. Reach it. Yeah. I'm probably going to do the weather, I'm thinking. Not sure. I could do take over environmental alert. I could do that, I suppose. There are other things I could do. Not sure. I think I'll just hang out here and see what happens. You know what I mean? I don't even have a name yet. Very weird. I just close my eyes. Play the music. Go up and down the music. Yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. Yeah, baby. Yeah, give me that music. Give me some of that sweet music. I go for it. Yeah, baby. Now if I could just flap my wings, that would certainly help a lot. If I could flap my wings, you know what I'm saying? Flap the wings, baby!